Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Permanent Magnets Limited Q4 and FY 2025 earnings conference call hosted by TIL Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Saion Pokharna from TIL Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Pokharna.
Thank you, Renju. Good afternoon, everyone. We appreciate you taking out the time to join us today on this call. The investor presentation has already been uploaded on the stock exchange and on the company website. To take us through today's results, we have with us from the management team, Mr. Sharat Taparia, Managing Director, and Mr. Sukamal Jain, Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. We will begin with a brief overview of the quarter and the full financial year from Mr. Taparia, followed by a Q&A session. Please note that any forward-looking statement made during this call must be viewed in conjunction with the risk and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties have been outlined in our annual report. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Sharat, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Saion. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for PML's quarter four and full year 2025 earnings conference call. I will begin with a review of our performance for the past quarter and financial year. FY 2025 has been a year of consolidation and transition for PML, marked by both challenges and strategic initiatives that we believe will lay the foundation for future growth. For the financial performance overview, let me begin with a summary of our financial results. For financial year 2025, PML's consolidated revenue from operations registered a modest 2% increase, reaching 205 crores. This growth is subdued compared to our historical trajectory as a result of a challenging operating environment last year. For the fourth quarter, revenue was rupees 45 crores, representing a 16% decline year-on-year. This was primarily driven by a weaker demand in certain key business segments. On the profitability front, margins reduced during both quarter four and the full year. EBITDA margins for financial year 2025 is at 15% compared to 17% in the previous year. For Q4, EBITDA margin is 11%, down from 12% in the corresponding quarter last year. This reduction is largely attributable to higher operating expenses, including developmental costs, which we incurred during this year, as well as due to one-off charges, certain one-off charges. It is important to note that these developmental expenses have yet to yield financial returns but are expected to contribute in the coming periods. Additionally, there are higher depreciation expenses reflecting our recent investments in capacity and capabilities, which have further impacted profitability for both the quarter and the year. Now, I would like to update you on the business segments. For the electric vehicle and automotive segment, demand from the EV segment has remained muted throughout financial year 2025. Our exposure in the EV industry is primarily due to Western OEMs, particularly those based in the U.S. and Europe, who are currently facing intense competition from Chinese OEMs. This has led to a deceleration in their demand, especially as the initial rapid adoption phase in the EV market appears to have moderated. In response, we are actively diversifying our customer base and deepening our engagement with the Indian EV supply chain, where Tier 1 supplies to leading domestic EV OEMs already underway. We are committed to increasing our penetration in this segment despite near-term headwinds, and believe that our ongoing efforts will position us well in the market, as well as the market will stabilize. Now, regarding the smart meters business. Turning to our smart meters business, our domestic smart meters orders were lesser, mainly due to lower demand from our key customers. To address this, we have taken some steps to broaden both our product portfolio and the customer base. A significant milestone was the addition of latching relays to our portfolio through a licensing agreement with REL Developments Limited from U.K. This agreement grants us the know-how and technical knowledge required to manufacture and sell latching relays both within and outside India. However, our initial focus will be on the domestic market. We are already in discussions with several customers. We anticipate meaningful traction in this product line in financial year 2026. To support this, we have initiated the necessary CapEx to commence relay manufacturing, which will happen in the second half of financial year 2026 at a new facility. The equipment orders are already placed. Relays are a higher value product than what we are doing currently, and it will significantly expand our addressable market size per meter and provide a much needed domestic alternative for metering companies who are seeking to localize their supply chain. We are optimistic that this initiative will act as a key growth driver for our domestic metering business going forward. Now, coming to the alloys business. In our alloys business, the commercial offtake was slower than our anticipation in financial year 25. However, recent order inflows in April and a positive demand outlook for financial year 26 are reinforcing our confidence in this segment. A notable achievement was that we secured AS 9100 2016 certification for our alloys facility, and this will open up opportunities in aerospace, aviation, and defense sectors. To prepare for full future scale-up, we are planning to expand our capacity by adding a new furnace by this December. And this will significantly enhance our ability to serve growing demand. Now, regarding the Quantum Magnetics subsidiary. In our subsidiary Quantum Magnetics, we were successful in completing a key customer audit in FY25. However, the scale-up of this commercial business is constrained currently due to global geopolitical issues that have affected the supply of rare earth magnets. Recent export restrictions on rare earth magnets have underscored the critical importance of establishing manufacturing and supply chain capabilities for rare earth magnets in India, especially as these components are crucial for both EVs and renewable energy equipment. And these sectors are national priorities for the Government of India. We are moving forward in this space, and we will share further updates as our plans are finalized. As you know, there are, due to geopolitical restrictions, export of magnets and magnetic technologies from China are restricted, and we are also looking for alternatives to de-risk our plan. So in summary, while financial year 25 has been a year of consolidation and transition, we firmly believe that the strategic initiatives undertaken across our business segments, be it in alloys, domestic smart meters, or our subsidiary Quantum Magnetics, will position PML for a strong rebound. Our focus remains on product additions, customer diversification, and investing in high-potential growth areas. So I would now like to open the floor for questions, if any.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Ankit Gupta with Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, my first question is on the, you know, what kind of market size do we expect from this latching relays? So, you know, as you've said that we have entered into licensing agreement with REL. So, you know, how do you see the traction in the segment, and what is the opportunity size here for this product?
The latching relays are generally, on an average, per meter ranges from about 225 rupees to maybe about 300 rupees or maybe 325 rupees, depending on the customization and depending on the quality of the product. So roughly that is the size you can, roughly that is the value per meter that you can calculate.
Sure. And like, who will be our competitors here, and what kind of like, have we entered into, let's say, like, have we been able to capture customers or enter into agreements with them?
Competitors, I would not like to mention. There are only a few companies in India, but majority product currently is imported, and we have had some initial discussions with some customers. But our production is expected to start by around second half of this year. Yeah. Then we will ramp up customer by customer.
Sure, sure. So let's say in FY27, can this product become, let's say, a meaningful contributor to our sales of, let's say, 30-40 crore kind of potential there?
Yes, yes, yes.
So in FY27-28, what kind of revenues or what kind of ramp-up can we see here?
The demand is quite big, so it will depend on how fast we can, first of all, penetrate the customer, and secondly, how much market share will they give to us. They all need a domestic supply chain, which we are establishing. So I can't comment on how big it can be, but it can be quite large, but it depends on how quickly we are able to execute in this financial year. That will determine our, because if we are able to establish well in this year, then next year we'll be just scaling up, let's say, adding to that same capacity. We are quite optimistic about it.
Okay. Market is huge.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And you say that it's a higher value product, so the margins also are higher than, let's say, 15-20%?
Margins are depending on the level of customization. So in case where there is more standard relay, the margins are lower. But in case of more value addition, margins are a little better. But it can be, it can range from, let's say, because the majority cost is driven by metal content, which is silver and copper, for which we can't expect a higher margin. That's a pass-through. So margins can range from, let's say, between 10% to 20-25%, depending on the level of customization that you do.
Sure. Okay. The second question was on the alloy business. You know, FY25, you know, we haven't been able, like, the commercial offtake has been slower than expected, but it seems that FY26 we are bullish, you know, on this segment, and we are also adding new furnace by December this year. So, you know, if you can talk about this segment a bit, you know, what we were targeting, PSUs as well as other customers here. You know, we have got aerospace certification also. So if you can talk about, you know, how you see the scale-up happening here, what kind of customers we have been able to, you know, get here, and how do you scale up, see the scale-up in the segment for 26 and 27?
See, last year, actually, I was very optimistic that last year itself, we would have got more business. However, one of the key customers that we were speaking to took a much longer time to get the approval done. So that business has now started. And now we are almost running at full capacity. So we have already ordered new furnace, and our capacity will become almost 6-7 times of what we have today. So and currently the inquiries that we have point towards a good demand for this business. And since this business model is quite different from what we have been doing in our existing business, here the materials are standard. They are all existing alloys, mostly. And once you supply a sample to a customer and they approve, the business can start almost immediately. Whereas in our earlier business model, there was a time period we used to take from a development of a product to a sale. So this business model is different. And again, the market is quite large in India and internationally. So we are quite optimistic about it.
So sir, with existing capacity, how much revenue can we generate from this segment?
Again, it is divided into two methods by which we produce the alloy. One is by using virgin raw materials, where you put in all the metals and you melt, and the other is using scraps and reverts, which are sometimes supplied by the customer themselves, in which you are doing mostly
conversion,
in which the turnover is less, but however margins are much better. So now, depending on the mix of both types of business, the total revenue can be estimated. But let's say if we are to do 100% capacity using 100% virgin materials, we would be able to do approximately from this capacity, 30 crores roughly from this capacity, what we have today. Sure. And we will multiply this by about 6-7 times, starting from calendar year 2026.
Sure. Can you talk about which kind of customers we have been able to get here, and which others are in pipeline for the expansion that we are doing?
There is a mix of customers. Some are very specific to one particular application, which I don't want to name the customers. And others are government PSUs, which we are getting from the online portal of government, where they have the tenders going on. So some business we are getting from there, and some business we are getting from these private companies. So I would not like to comment too much on the type of customers.
Thank you. Mr. Gupta, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Madhu Rathi with Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
So for FY26, what should the shareholders expect in terms of top line as well as margins? Any broad guidance you would like to give us?
We are expecting around, currently we are expecting around 20% growth plus minus something. See, last year also we were expecting certain businesses to click, but our growth is a lumpy growth. So it can really jump very fast when you click certain businesses. And really a lot of it depends on these new initiatives that we have taken from the alloy and relay business, which are fairly new, but we are optimistic.
So 20% top line growth, and what about margins, sir? Can we expect above 20% margins?
Margins depend on the product mix, and earlier, because our margins, what you experienced we experienced about 2 years back, mainly were driven by the EV segment. So if EV segment comes back again, then we will expect an increase. But right now it is looking all at the similar level what we have today. So I think a fair assumption is that about similar level of margins.
So I was trying to understand that just like Chinese EVs have flooded the global markets, so is it a possibility that Chinese EV component makers can also flood, the EV component markets, including in India, and eat into our share? Is that a possibility?
The component manufacturers are there. However, we are introducing one more product line, which I cannot comment about today, to address this issue, which will have multiple pricing range so that we can compete with the Chinese. The existing product line that we are supplying for the European customer are customized products, in which for the Chinese to enter is difficult, because already all the approvals and everything have happened. So there, I don't see any threat from the Chinese. The only issue is how much demand will come for those products
and those customers.
Yeah.
Sir, and also, sir, what percentage of our exports are coming from United States? And sir, what is the impact of 10% import duty? Have we passed it on to the customer, or some part of the hit we are absorbing?
We are not affected, sir.
No, we are not affected by that import duty. Our product is customized product, so it's not a commodity for the customer to switch over to any other company. Is difficult, because all the approvals have to be done again, and even if they do it, they have to go to a country where the import duty will be lesser than India. So our expectation is that there should be no change in this business which we are supplying to United States.
Thank you. Mr. Rathi, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Rohit with iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Good afternoon, sir. So, sir, just a few questions. So, on the Quadrant subsidiary, so in your opening remarks, you said the audit has been done, but you are facing some challenges because of the ban on export of.
So where are we right now, and how do you see this?
Sorry, I'm not able to hear you. You broke off in between. Can you repeat, please?
Yes. Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was talking about the Quadrant business. You mentioned that the audit has happened, but there are some issues in terms of raw material, the export ban that is there from China. So how do you see this business in FY26? Do you see any contribution? And if yes, what are you expecting on this business? That is my first question.
It is very uncertain at the moment, because there is a ban from China. Chinese, they are only exporting to against specific licenses. So we have done all that work regarding the licenses, but we don't know how, what the decision, because that is all controlled by the Chinese government. So whatever decision they take, it will depend on that. Our plan is a long-term plan to establish full supply chain from India for the rare earth magnets. And this was the first step, because we went reverse in terms of setting up the application, the assembly plant first, and then backward integration will be the next phase. So while this is a temporary problem is there, I mean, to answer your question, current year we are still very uncertain. We don't know what will happen. It may or may not contribute to the top line. But our long-term plan is still to establish manufacturing here for rare earth magnets, which will be, we have calculated that in, let's say, by 2030, there will be a large demand for the rare earth magnets for applications like EV and other applications, which will be, which Indian government is encouraging for Indian companies to set up in India, full supply chain from India. That is where we are heading.
Got it. So in the absence, so two questions as a follow-up on this. So one is the longer term plan that you mentioned, but in the near term, let's say this year or in the next 12 to 18 months, in the absence of anything coming from China, so do we have any alternate sources from which where we can get this? And is Quadrant the partner that we have, is are they helping us to figure out so that we can start this process? That is one. And second, on longer term, so when you do that backward integration, I remember that there was a bigger capex that is needed. So what are your thoughts on that, given that that this project is yet to go off ground? So like, when do you start to take those steps? Because I think there will be a lead time to set up the capex and do backward integration, etc. So
Yeah. So to answer your first question, we are getting help, whatever is needed to continue this supply, what we are doing today. But there are a lot of legal issues in China. So we have to overcome those to see that we are doing everything legally. And regarding the long term, yes, we have to, the capex required is quite large, and we are planning how to fund that capex by way of debt, equity, maybe a mix, and that we are planning. We will set up some pilot facilities, test it out, and then scale it up. This is the broad plan that we have. Further, due to the restrictions put by China, we are also looking at alternative partners who can help us with the technology, because Chinese have banned the technology transfer from there. So we are looking at all possible alternatives. It is uncertain at the moment, and so a little complex. But we are hopeful to find out ways around all that, because we have experience in the magnets business. Although this process is new, we will find out some method on how to implement that, the facilities for that.
Got it, sir. And sir, just on the alloys business, you mentioned that the customer has started purchasing and you are working at full capacity. So at the current capacity, I'm not talking about the expansion that you're planning. What you mentioned, there are two ways, but broadly, what is the kind of business that you're expecting in this year?
This year, we are expecting somewhere between 20 to 30 crores maybe for alloy. Also depends a lot on how much can we productionize and utilize capacity out of our new furnace, which will get installed in December, January, and whether it can start producing immediately or we have to do some trials. So based on that, we are having a rough judgment of, let's say, 20 to 30 crores currently. These numbers may change if we can do earlier, let's say, it can increase also.
Thank you. Mr. Rohit, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Dhwanil Desai with Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon. The first question is that, in the commentary and subsequent answers from whatever we have mentioned, if I look at the bigger picture, we used to do a lot of products which were custom designed, for our customers on EV side and maybe also on the meter side. And incrementally, if you look at the business that we are targeting, be it noise or be it, the relays or the EV side also, it's going to be more standardized products. So hence, the entry barrier for the new player is going to be lower, and hence the margin profile also may be in line with that, maybe slightly lower. So is that a right understanding and from our side, and are we comfortable with that?
Yes, overall major business direction is towards more standardized products. That is true. In the alloy business, the two types of business that we are doing, one is the conversion, which is more complex, and that still has a better margin than the standard alloy melting by using virgin raw materials. So we will eventually move towards the more conversion type of business. That is our plan, which is difficult for people to do. It has some processes which are to be done even before we melt the materials. So everybody does not, the other companies, they don't do it. And it is quite specific to each customer what processes to be followed. Regarding the relays, it is a standard product. Yes, margins can again depend on the level of customization that we do. There are some of the existing product like CT, which we can integrate along with the relay with some customer needs like that. So again, a few possibilities are there, but overall I would say relay margins compared to the overall margins of PML will be lower as compared to the total earlier mix of the business that we had.
Got it. So essentially, the way to think is that maybe probably, going forward, our scale up may be faster, but margin may not be to the real levels of 20% or so. Maybe we'll more in the range of 14%, 15%, 16%. That's the right way to think, right?
Yes, it is. The earlier margins that we saw were highly due to the customized products. So as we move towards more and more standardized products, margins will come down. And then we'll have to work on the cost to again increase those. Again, due to these uncertainties of geopolitical uncertainties, that is actually helping us because the demand is there and many customers do not mind paying a premium for an Indian supply chain. So that way, margins can be better on that count. So it's a mix of many things, but overall, what you say is correct.
The second question, on the EV side, maybe a couple of years back, We had a very strong pipeline with FY27, FY28 programs, for various models. So, in the changed scenario, what happened to that pipeline? Is it that the customers are kind of, going back on those projects or, those projects are shelved or the quantities are being scaled down? How should we think about that, that entire thing which was prevalent two, three years ago because they all planned very much in advance? So, those projects, how should we think about it?
Yeah, some of the projects they have shelved, they have kept it on hold. They are trying to use the existing platform only to drive sales. I mean, for example, suppose they are developing a new design model, they will try to use the existing same sensor, same design to continue the purchase commitments that they had done with us. And the overall demand from them has only reduced. Particularly, I'm talking about American and European EV manufacturers. I mean, their demand reduced, so that their tier one demand reduced, so therefore our demand reduced. Overall, EV market worldwide is still going up. We are quite bullish about the Indian market, and I feel that Indian EVs have come in a little later, but they are very competitively priced, so they should do quite well. And we are working with them also. And some of our parts through the tier ones are now going for the Indian EVs. So Indian EVs are adopting the same platform from tier one, what we are already supplying. So that way, some of the sales should actually come back if that goes up significantly. But the quantities of Indian EV is still less, although outlook is quite good.
Understood. Understood. And last question. Sir, if I again, look at the smart meter side of it, a lot of players who are implementing had a very strong year, while, our commentary says that, one of our customer, was facing challenges in terms of rollout or was not taking enough quantity. So, going forward, how should we think about our, customer concentration risk, in this segment, especially given that a vast opportunity has opened up and, people are scaling up fast? So how do we take advantage of, that, fast scale-up that is happening?
See, today, only about less than 10% of the total program is implemented. So balance, the 90% is yet to be implemented, across India. So demand of this, the related to energy meter is still very large, although our major customer did not have so much demand. They are selective in their booking of orders because many players are booking orders, and there are challenges related to implementation and execution. So as we go forward, we have to see how it plays out. But our strategy, by going into relay, we will become a domestic player who will produce relay. And so we are sort of doing an import substitution for many of these customers. So this will result in broadening of our customer base. That is our plan.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Praneet, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So as you were talking about EVs in terms of giving magnets to domestic producers, Indian producers, I was wondering how is the product different from international producers, and how are the pricing and margins like? Are they going to be different from what we are doing from the providing the Western economies? And in terms of the supply today, who are dominating the supply in terms of who's supplying to the EV manufacturers today? And did we have any domestic orders that we fulfilled during the year? and how much more do we think are we going to scale up in this particular venture?
See, you're talking about magnets, but magnets, we are today not supplying, we are not supplying magnets to the EV manufacturers. Magnet.
Oh, I misunderstood, like the products we supply to EV.
Yeah, product we supply to EV are related to current sensing devices, which we supply to EV manufacturers. These are soft magnetic materials using Hall effect technologies. And this we are supplying to mostly tier one companies who build their platform, their inverters based on this, and they supply to the final EV manufacturers. So our pricing remains the same, whether it is Indian or whether it is foreign for the existing product that we are doing. The new product launch that we are going to do in this year will, where we are doing a lot more standardization, where we will introduce product at multiple price points, which should be suitable for a low, let's say, there is a range of market. The market is divided into a category where some customers require very high accuracy sensing, and some customers are okay with low accuracy, but they want, they are price sensitive. So we will introduce product which is suitable to all this range. This we are working on right now, and hopefully in this year we will introduce that range. So to as a future, let's say, de-risking our specific customized product line, because as we go ahead, probably this business will also become more and more commoditized. So I hope I have answered your question.
No, I answered part of the question. So one more thing I was asking about is the competitive landscape at this point of time. So I understand there's already EVs rolling out today, right? So do we already supply to these current sensing equipment to these OEMs? I mean, I understand we go through a different supplier than they supply to the OEMs, but are we already, do we already fulfill any orders this way? And who are already supplying to these OEMs today? Because I understand we are still developing the product, right? Who are already supplying to these people? Is it they're importing the product, or how is it happening today? And what percentage of the equipment is still imported to the country?
This every tier one company, they have their own design, and some companies use a standard design from international, based on international market. Now, when they have their customized design, we are producing the part as per their design. So very few players, companies worldwide do such a business where they customize the part and specifically supply as per that design, because it is complex and the raw material supplier is fixed, and the process is fixed, and everybody has to follow the same thing when you supply such a part. When you use a standard design, then the specifications are fixed, and you have to follow that specification and the form and fit. So there are a few companies worldwide who do a standard design, and we are also planning to introduce our own standard design. So competitors I cannot name, but generally worldwide, there are not too many companies who do this.
So basically, most of the components that EVs supply are still imported into the country, right? As per you're saying, because today, do they use a standard design or they continue to use a customized design? I understand you make customized products which are much more complex, but what is the market demanding in terms of, do they want a customized product or do they don't mind the standardized product?
They would like a standardized product which fits within their cost. So if they find that the standard product is very expensive, then the engineers try to design their customized, their own design. And if we are able to provide a standard design which is good enough cost, then they don't mind adopting that if the performance is same. And our strategy is to provide that kind of product which offers them a good design, which with their appropriate cost.
So basically,
majority product for the customized majority product, and the sensors are all imported only, and the supporting parts related to the sensor, some are imported and some are domestically manufactured.
So what you're saying is, then looking for customized product, it's a way of cost cutting because the standardized ones are more expensive. That's why there could be a demand in form of cost efficiencies for the OEMs to come to you and make sure they design the customized product, right?
Yeah.
Or if we offer a standard product within their cost budget, they will adopt it.
So out of the overall consumption in India, how much of it is today, let's say the current engagement, is a standard product, and how much of it is customized? And like, are there any manufacturers in the country who are doing the standard designs for these OEMs?
That exact mix we do not know, but many of them are buying from tier ones. Passenger cars, for example, quite a few are buying from tier one companies. So they are mostly customized. But two-wheeler market, for example, is buying some standard products also. So that mix we do not know. However, once we have our standard design also, then we will be in both the segments.
Thank you. Mr. Praneet, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Sanjay Kumar with iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So first question on smart meters. What is the CapEx on the peak revenue potential of the relays, that application that we are planning?
We plan to invest about between, let's say, 15 to 20 crores roughly, and then scale up as the demand, whatever the demand will be. But it is subject to a lot of this number that I'm saying there will be a lot of changes due to the level of automation that we decide. This is not a number, is just a rough number that I've given to you, but it will depend a lot on the level of automation which we are, as we go ahead, we will implement.
But so on this 15-20 crores, what can be the peak revenue potential or the revenue that you are targeting to achieve?
Maybe between 70 to 100 crores, maybe, roughly.
Okay. And do you think, are we late in the smart meter segment, sir, or do you think there's still potential left for shunts and relays? Because everyone's order book is huge. Now we'll have to find new customers, or these existing guys like HPL, Genus, they can also buy relays from us.
They can buy if they want to do an Indian supply chain. Everybody wants Indian supply chain, so they will buy. They can buy. You can say that we are delayed we could have set up this much earlier. However, we were looking at the market, what is going on, and when we found the right technology partner, then we have signed an agreement with them. But still, we are looking at the long-term picture. We do not want to just say that this is just due to the Indian opportunity today. We are looking at export market. We are looking at markets other than the energy meter also, because we will treat this relay manufacturing as a capability and scale it across multiple applications. This is our plan. So we don't want to say that this is only the Indian opportunity for this 250 million meters. It is a worldwide opportunity and multiple application opportunity. This is the way we are thinking.
Can you list the applications, sir, that is other than energy meter?
Automotive, for example. EV also requires a relay, but different type of relay, which is a high current relay. It's a safety device. So anywhere you need a automatic switching on and off of current, a relay is used. Now, industrial relays. So in industry, there's a different types of relay, different capacity relay. These are the multiple applications.
Got it. And second, on alloys business, just to confirm, you said 30 crores is the potential or the capacity today, and this will become 6-7x. So 200 crores is the sort of peak revenue that we can do with both the furnaces. By when do you think we can utilize this capacity?
Sorry, again?
So the 200 crores peak revenue potential from both the furnaces put together, by when do you think we can utilize the these capacities? How long will it take?
We have to book those, we have to click business with our customers, we have to give them samples and click business and fill up that capacity. So as early as possible when we will be able to do, I can't tell you exact time frame, but the opportunity
I'll put it this way. So in FY25, we supplied to a PSU, and now we are saying we are talking to one customer. So how many plans or inquiries do we have in the pipeline? Because without that, you wouldn't have had the confidence to add another furnace.
Yeah, we have multiple customers, at least I would say 10-15 customers with different volumes that they want. But we do not want to, ultimately we want to be in a space where margins are better. So blindly, just very, very low margin business, we don't want to do. But this is applicable only after we have filled up our capacity. So inquiries are there, and and based on that confidence only, you're right, we have ordered the new furnace. Now it is in the execution stage. It is in the execution stage, and we are working hard towards filling up that capacity. Yeah.
Sure. And third question on quantum magnetics. In the last call, we spoke about specific consumer electronics application. Can we expect commercial orders? Just trying to understand if it is confirmed or it's just a matter of when, or worst case, we might not get this business also. Is that the worst case?
No, commercial orders had started, and already we supplies had started, and then this problem of the export restrictions came. So now they are stopped at the moment. Now, depending on the licensing situation, again, it will depend. If that is clear, then commercial supply will again start.
So it's not an end, it's just a pause.
It is a pause till the time this restriction is cleared in some way. We are hoping that this will be cleared. Indian government is also trying, because Indian EV industry is also facing the same problem. They are not getting the magnets. And mainly the source is China only, because 80-90% is produced there. Indian EV industry also is suffering because of this. So they have approached Indian government. Indian government is talking to Chinese government. All that thing is happening. So hopefully, my expectation is it should get clear. But currently, our production is stopped.
Okay. And where are we on the JV with Quadrant? Is Quadrant still keen on using PML as the partner for India, for China Plus One? Are they still keen?
They were keen, but now due to this restriction put in by China, we have to see the legal situation, and we are looking at alternative partners also, because there is a restriction from China. So we have to think about all possible outcomes.
Thank you. Mr. Kumar, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Sai Ganesh with Square 64 Capital Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Could you provide a breakdown of the product mix across hyperism, magnetic assemblies, and current sensing solutions?
We have now divided, because there is a lot of mix, so we are now dividing it based on the application. In terms of applications, about 43%.
Okay, understood. And what sort of margins are we making currently in alloy business?
In alloy business?
Yes, current margins.
Current margins are about, let's say, between 10 to 15% current margins. But this is because right now we have done a mix of multiple businesses. So, in this year, it will be stabilizing. My expectation is it should be somewhere between 15 to 20%, somewhere between, or maybe you can consider between, let's say, 12 to 20%. In between, somewhere there it should be during this year.
Depending on supplying through, making through virgin material, or we are doing job work.
Yeah, depending on that.
Margin will be higher in job work.
Okay. And sir, what will be the revenue contribution from the shunt business in FY25?
Shunt business roughly will be between about 60 crore plus minus something.
60 crores plus minus. Okay. And could you provide an update on the forward integration of the shunt business that we are planning to go into forward integration?
Shunt business, forward integration is the relay business. The shunt goes in the relay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that we are already setting up.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Ankit Gupta with Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Sir, on this, our existing export business on the smart meter side, how should we look at the growth in the segment over the next 2 years? So this business, I think, hasn't grown much over the past 2 years. So currently, are we getting some, new projects, and how should we look at this business as a whole?
See, you're talking about export energy meters?
Yeah, export energy meters.
Export energy meter last year grew. It was out of the total energy meter business. After the total, roughly 65% was export only, as compared to 52% in the last year. So it grew last year in the export in the energy meter business. But again, it is a customized product, and depending on customer demand, depending on their design, this business, we don't know how it will play out in the future. Last year demand was good.
Okay.
Once we start the relay, it will be, we are planning to do exports also for energy meters, for the relays, that we will offer as a product to all our customers.
Okay. And given, we have a very good and large client base in the energy meter side on the exports, should we expect that, relay approval should also happen here? Might take some time, but eventually we should get approval from our export customers also on the relay side.
Yeah,
how do you see this business going over the next 2 years?
For export customers, the approval time is a little longer. But yes, eventually it should happen.
On the basis, could we expect this 5-10% growth in this business for the next 2-3 years, you are expecting more than this?
Yeah, today what we are doing, you can expect about 5-10% growth is all right.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, Nisha.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Madhu Rati with Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand our cost of production of these relays versus the Chinese counterparts. And sir, so on that thing.
Cost of production as compared to Chinese for relay?
Yes.
Regarding the metals, it is almost similar, but major cost of the relay is metals only.
71.
Maybe about 70% plus something like that. Silver, copper are the major cost elements. And regarding conversion cost, Chinese have a lot of automation already in place. So they will be a little lower than us when we start. But there is an import duty also. So we get a certain advantage there.
Import duty on this product and including import duty, will the cost of production including conversion cost be similar to the Chinese?
Yeah, similar to Chinese. We have checked the prices and those prices we are able to supply.
What is the import duty on this product?
It is 15%. It was 10%, it has been increased to 15%.
Got it.
Sir, if I look at our business profile over the last 3-5 years, we have given that because of EV segment going down, our margins have reduced. But sir, there haven't been much. So, are the electricity meter business that we are gaining, is that a lower margin business or something has changed over this 5-year period? Because our gross margins have reduced as well. So, any specific reason for this margin decline?
Yeah, the major contributor in margin earlier was the EV business on specific products which were high margin products. And those were being sold in very high volume at that time. That demand went down. So therefore, our margins are at this level today.
So if I understood correctly, we supply very customized products to these Western OEMs. So what would be our volume share or wallet share of these customers and what would be for the competitors? And can we see a shift from our competitor to us going forward in the EV segment?
Mostly they use only one supplier mostly. So if they approve us in one particular platform, then we supply all the volume for that platform because the product is very sensitive.
It cannot be changed
from supplier to supplier. So, which product, suppose one platform is awarded to our competitor, then they will supply 100% there. It is like that.
Got it. And sir, for the Chinese EV OEMs, sir, have we thought of getting into supplying to these Chinese OEMs who are setting up their plants in either EU or Mexico? Is that a possibility for us or the cost won't allow us to do that?
You are talking about us setting up plant there?
No, us supplying to the Chinese OEMs who are setting up their plants in either Europe or Mexico.
That possibility is less because Chinese OEMs prefer Chinese suppliers only. So this is our experience. So there I don't think, I'm not seeing any opportunity there to penetrate in that market.
Got it. So that's it from my side. So thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Rohit from i.pms. Please go ahead.
Yeah, all my questions have been answered. So just one small question. So till such time, your quadrant business scales up or the EV business comes back, your margin profile will be around this 14-15%. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah, at the current level, yes. Yes.
Got it, sir.
Last year there were some extra development expenses and one-time charges. To that effect, maybe margins will be slightly better. But
sure. Overall,
what you say is correct.
Sure, sir. And one more question, sir. In the last 4-5 years, you've invested in terms of capabilities and you've talked about it in your annual report, in your AGM and all these calls as well. So now it seems that some of those have hit a speed bump. So how are you thinking about it from a 2-3 year perspective?
because you would have spent a lot of energy, time, resources on developing these capabilities and then going out and forging partnerships or business development opportunities. So, like, how are you thinking about scaling the business from here on from a profitability point of view? And also, I mean, we were hitting a purple patch a couple of years back, but now it seems like it's hit a roadblock. So how are you thinking from that standpoint? A lot of these things, of course, are not in our hands from geopolitical side or the demand side. So just wanted to hear your perspective.
Well, our journey, if you see, that we were earlier a magnets company. And from magnets, we pivoted to other products like soft magnetic materials. And based on the capabilities, now we are doing so many more things. So roadblocks are a part of the journey. Not so much worried about the roadblocks. Long term, overall, we must grow and we must grow fast. So I think our strategy based on the expansion related to capability, pitching our capabilities to the customer, I think will pay us rewards. And this is a correct method what we have adopted. And this is it's a lumpy growth. We are still a very small company. So we may experience a sudden jump in any 1 year going forward, or there may be further roadblocks. So I'm not worried about that. I think our overall, we should keep on expanding our capabilities. We should keep on pitching our capabilities to customers, keep on supplying good quality product at the reasonable prices. Then we are continuously in business. So I'm not so much worried about the temporary roadblock.
Right. And so there was a plan to consolidate our existing operations and move to a newer plant. So where are we in that journey?
We have acquired 8 acres in total. 2 more acres is pending, which we will do in September. And also start our, after we do that, we will start developing the land and building. So, but until then, we are running our operations in leased premises. And whatever expansion is needed, we are taking additional leased premises.
And so when do you see moving to our new premises?
It is slightly delayed from our initial plan, but maybe right. 2 to 3 years from here, let's say. That's my expectation.
Yeah. Got it.
Well, land development, okay, land approvals are complex process. It takes a little longer time.
And setting up the operation in terms of your plant building, etc., that also will take around 12 to 18 months? Or
yeah, in totality, I'm saying about 2 to 3 years, we should start some kind of operations in the new plant. And then once the infrastructure and all is ready, we'll move everything.
Understood. Got it.
Yeah.
That is it from my side. So, but thank you very much and all the very best for this coming year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sharad Taparia for closing comments.
Okay. Thank you all for joining the session today. And I hope I have answered all the questions as much as possible to my ability. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Permanent Magnets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.